Chapter 107. Greg is happy. Draco is not.
Can you check this?
Greg asked Harry one evening in the library. Harry accepted the piece of paper with some trepidation. Greg had been odd all year, alternatively sticking as usual to Luna's side and disappearing for hours with Draco.
Dear Mother, thank you for your letter disowning me at my emancipation hearing. I am proposing on Saturday and have got permission from Professor Snape for you to witness it. I have permission from her father. Yours sincerely, Gregory.
Harry looked up at Greg. How long have you been working on this?
Couple months.
It's very grammatical. Greg looked rather worried. That means it's good. She disowned you? Greg nodded. But you want her to meet Luna? Greg shrugged. I'd like to be there. To, witness the happy occasion. And join in any fight to the death.
Greg grinned. Sure. What about, your father? Should you put in anything about him? I wasn't sure.
Is he wanted by the ministry?
Not yet.
Right.
I'll put in a bit about him,
Greg decided. Shortly, Harry had the letter to read again.
P.S. Father is invited, too, if he is not busy and there are no open arrest warrants for him.
Well, Harry thought faintly, this should be exciting. By complete coincidence, the entire DA gathered in a loose circle in the Great Hall as lunchtime came to an end on Saturday, playing a game of batting balls back and forth with their wands wordlessly, when Professor Snape escorted Mr. and Mrs. Goyle into the room. The staff table seemed oddly full as well, and Professor McGonagall in particular was watching the proceedings like a cat at a mouse hole. The DA ceased their game and loitered, pointedly. Harry, who felt he might ruin the moment by being obtrusive, was under his invisibility cloak. Luna, the only person in the entire DA who didn't know what was going on, blinked dreamily at the room. Greg knelt in front of her. The rest of the school craned to watch the drama.
Luna, would you marry me, please? It would be...
Greg checked a piece of paper in his hand.
My great honor and privitation...
Privilege? Draco hissed from where he was sitting a few feet away.
Privilege? Greg plowed on. If you would be my wife forever. Because you are...
He checked his notes.
The most beautiful and clever girl I've ever met. And to defeat the Rotfang conspiracy together.
Harry put the hand he didn't have holding his wand over his mouth to avoid making any noise and ruining the, moment.
If you say yes, you get this ring, Greg concluded,
offering Luna a silver ring set with an emerald.
And I'll make sure no one ever steals it.
Harry, who had seen Draco laboring over something silver and green at odd moments over the past week, had a strong suspicion who had transfigured that particular object into its current shape. I think that's very nice, Luna agreed, and slipped the ring on. But you look very uncomfortable, so you should get up. Greg lumbered to his feet, beaming.
Your name, girl,
barked Mr. Goyle, largely forgotten, which was a trick and a half given the size of Mr. Goyle.
This is Luna Lovegood, Greg said.
Mrs. Goyle whispered in Mr. Goyle's ear. Harry raised his wand, just in case hexing was needed. Mr. Goyle made a harumphing noise and turned and left. Harry let out a slow breath. Mrs. Goyle lingered to talk to the happy couple, but Harry figured anyone could watch them. He followed Mr. Goyle and Professor Snape.
Dark Lord's getting impatient,
Mr. Goyle said to Snape. Not here, you fool, Snape hissed, and he has never been known for his patience in any case.
Your neck.
So it is. If he asks, tell him he would be impressed with Draco's attitude.
For the next week, Luna wore turnip earrings that matched her new emerald ring, and a necklace of green and white fishing baubles. Moaning Myrtle popped out of a wall in front of Harry as he was walking down to dinner alone one day.
Harry, he says he'll only talk to you. Is it true you kiss sometimes?
Her expression was avid. Harry closed his eyes and counted to 10.
I've never kissed Draco, he said. Where is he?
Myrtle tilted her head at him, silent and smiling oddly.
We've gone up to the astronomy tower a few times, Harry muttered. Now, where is he?
Oh, you must tell me next time so I can watch.
She twirled upside down and led the way to the boys' bathroom a few floors away, chattering about pretty boys and sensitivity, and I read a comic book like this once. Draco was standing at a sink, staring at his hands, which were white-knuckled, clutching the porcelain.
Myrtle, Harry said, can you give us a few minutes?
Aww.
Privacy, Myrtle.
She withdrew through the floor, pouting. Draco? Harry asked, casting a few anti-eavesdropper spells.
I can't do it. Everyone's counting on me, and I can't do it. I thought, but it's not working. You're right, I'm completely useless.
Hey, Harry said sharply. None of that. I mean, I don't know what you're working on, but come on. You're almost as clever as Hermione, aren't you? And you've got her to ask if you have to.
He's going to kill me if I fail, and I'm failing. I'm running out of time, Harry.
Harry leaned against the sink and studied Draco's pale, drawn face, with signs of sleep deprivation and tears. He dug in his pocket. Chocolate? Draco hissed at him.
They're just chocolates. I figured someday I'd want to give someone some candy without drugging them. Today seems to be the day.
Draco accepted one gingerly and ate it, and copied Harry's carefully casual posture, leaning against the side of a bathroom stall.
What you're missing, Harry said thoughtfully, is you can trust people outside your family to care about you. I'm your friend. Professor Snape wants to look after you. We're not going to let you get killed, all right? I'll go ahead with plan A and kidnap you and lock you in a closet until the war's over if I have to.
Draco looked rather wistful.
And you don't trust the Order, but they'd help you too, Harry plowed on. Even Dumbledore. Can I be blunt?
You weren't already?
Draco asked with a choked laugh. Draco rubbed at his eyes. Harry supposed they were itchy. What with all that not crying Draco was doing?
You're not a fighter. I mean, you're a bit of a bully, but you don't like fighting. No one should be recruiting you for a war except as a healer or a builder of fortifications.
We don't get what we want.
Well, what I want is for you not to die, and I'm going to get it. With my, how'd I put it before?
A very special boy who lived magic powers, I think,
Draco said softly.
Right, with those. Ron reckons I'm a unicorn.
Does he?
Draco murmured.
Winnie's at me in the halls.
You're just trying to cheer me up.
Yep.
So? I think I can manage a nice ambulatory unicorn to follow you around for a week by dinner time.
Draco mused. Harry grinned.
I am going to hex you in the face, Malfoy.
As if, Potter.
Draco enchanted a handsome statue of a unicorn to follow Harry around and wicker at inconvenient moments. Ron high-fived him, which made Draco and Ron stare at each other and then look away at the same time. If Harry had to guess, he'd guess they'd decided to pretend it never happened.